And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
What's good? Happy Monday, brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. Hello and welcome to another edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 24 Waiver Wire Edition. Personally, I think this is where we earn our money. Congrats to everyone who moved on in their fantasy playoffs. If your season's done, well, I don't know what to tell you. It's Nick Elberga and Pete Jensen with you. What's up, Pete?
What's going on, Nick? Yeah, we're getting closer to the real-life playoffs, full swing of the fantasy playoffs. Remember, Skip, the official food delivery app in the NHL. And we have Anna Dua in the house as well. Anna, what's going on? What's catching your eye these days in fantasy?
Everything's going really well. I mean, we're so close to the playoffs. The season has just flown by, but there are some surprises we're going to talk about today that I think are worth picking up, maybe.
Oh, without question. And I wasn't kidding. Like, this is when we earn our money, because most of you are in your championship weeks and it's life or death with every addition on your fantasy roster. And I want to start in DC, the District of Columbia, where I'm anointing it right now. There's a new number one center. His name is Dylan Strome. 17 points in 11 games since the trade deadline. We like him this week.
Yeah, Mississauga King. But Dylan Strome is one of the most underrated players, I think, this season. I feel like we never talk about him, whereas he's having the best season of his individual career right now. He has phenomenal lineup placement. You said he was on that top line for Washington, playing with Alex Ovechkin, Tom Wilson. 17 points in 12 games this month. Dylan Strome's just rocking and rolling. He's getting good power play time. There's no flaws that I see with his game. He's really stood out to me recently. I've been advocating to pick him up for like the past couple of weeks now, but if you still haven't, he has to be a must-add.
He's really been dishing it out early and often, playing a lot with Ovechkin this season, Anna, and he's already tied a career high in, I believe, four fewer games than one of those seasons when he split between Chicago and Arizona years back. It was funny. We actually picked him in DFS one day this week, and we got a reply, someone saying Schmaltz is better. Remember the days back when they were traded for each other? I guess that debate kind of rages on. Nick Schmaltz isn't half bad himself, right?
No, not at all. I think that's a fair comparable, but I'm really, really feeling Dylan Strome right now. And again, the attachment to Alex Ovechkin is big. I think since we're on that topic, and Pete, we can start with you. Rasmus Sandin, he has been a great story in fantasy hockey since the trade deadline, but John Carlson's back in the mix. Pete, we'll start with you. Is it an easy drop, Rasmus Sandin, because he's on PP2 now?
Yeah, I mean, in some cases, I would hang on to him. The Capitals are going to continue to be competitive down the stretch. They may not be winning games or closing the gap in the playoff race or anything like that, but there's a lot of pride in that locker room, and I think Sandin's still going to be fantasy relevant. One guy that I might drop him for that came back the other day, curious to hear your guys' thoughts, Philip Hronek, Vancouver Canucks. Seems like since he's come back, the Canucks are unbeatable out here, and they're playing well down the stretch with Demko. Their offense is high-flying, and Philip Hronek, Anna, I think, addresses their biggest need, which is on the back end. He's playing big minutes so far, and I like the player. He had a breakout season so far with Detroit prior to the trade.
Yeah, he had a phenomenal year with the Red Wings, and moving over to Vancouver, I was kind of wondering if it was going to continue, but I like him more than Sandin. It's really evident when you watch these games for the Capitals that Sandin's role has changed drastically. This is a really good team where he was playing in the lineup before. He was just producing based off of the players that he was playing with, right? But I don't know. It depends on what league you're in and what situation you're in, because I kind of disagree with Pete here. The Washington Capitals are almost down and out, but they're not 100% not 100% down and out just yet. I don't know. This team can rally like no other team in the NHL. And now John Carlson's back. I don't know, guys. We'll see. We'll have a discussion in a couple of weeks.
You sound like a Calgary Flames fan. Like every day after a win, it's like, oh, we have a chance. No, you don't. You're finished. You're done. It's over. It's even the Florida Panthers, I think, could be done. But I think you make a good point, especially on Philip Hronek. I like the value there. And it's sort of intriguing. Like everybody piled up on Alvin and company when they made that deal with Detroit. Now all of a sudden he's played a couple games. We're like, this guy can actually play some hockey, right? And I think you put him on that back end, especially with like a Quinn Hughes back there too, and you're starting to build something from a fantasy perspective. Definitely taking a flyer, but as you guys know, Pete, I love those four game weeks. A team I'm really looking at this week is the Montreal Canadiens. You want to talk about, you know, one of the bigger stories to me, surprises, if you will, in the back end this year, Mike Matheson. I'd love to pick him up right now.
he's been a beast, right, Anna? Since maybe like late January, he's a top 10 defenseman in the entire league in scoring. He's been working it on the power play. He's out there with Suzuki with the man advantage. He plays on the top pair. We came into the season kind of wondering who the guy would be in Montreal. It was one of the only teams out there that didn't have a clear-cut power play quarterback. Even some of the bad teams have that solidified. But Matheson, when healthy, I think he's up to 28 points in 39 games. So you've gotten some nice bang with your buck with this player when he's been able to suit up in the lineup.
He's my blue liner standout right now. There's no question for me. I mean, he has points in six of his past seven games. He had a three-point game against Columbus. The guy had, like, other than his last game, he had 10 shots on goal across two games, and now he has 13 shots on goal across his past three games. He's just lighting it up. He's been one of the most impressive players on the Montreal Canadiens right now. And yeah, 28 points in 39 games. So underrated.
Watch out for the college kids, by the way, in Montreal. Sean Farrell signs a contract there. Lane Hutson, excuse me, has had an incredible NCAA season. He's not far behind. And I think that's a good point, too, Pete, because going into the year, we had no clue who was running that power play. And I think Montreal deserves a lot of credit for making that Petrie deal, but actually getting something in return in that Petrie deal.
Would you, and I was wondering about this when I posed the question on the Instagram, Matheson's 29. Montreal, of course, still building for the future. I don't know how competitive they're going to be next season, but assuming that he's back and he's on first power play with some of this talent that, of course, includes, you know, we're going to see Cole Caufield back next season. So you could see another layer to it. I know you're not going to keep a Matheson, but is that someone that you would take a flyer on in fantasy drafts next season based on this sample size? I guess start with Anna.
Oh, this is a tough one. I don't know. I like the direction of this team. I do, but I don't know if I'm 100% sold on Matheson long-term. I feel like there's just going to be so many better options. Maybe I'm biased because there's so many blue liners that have stood out to me this season across the board on so many teams that Montreal is just not sticking out to me right now. I'd maybe even go with the Arizona guys. Ooh. I think that's another team that I think has a lot of fantasy value heading into the drafts next year, but I think no for me on Matheson.
In short, for me and my answer, and I know it's not really, it's a cop out, but like I have to wait and see what happens in the offseason, Pete, because, you know, Matheson's been a great story. And I think Montreal's got a better offense than they lead on. They've been actually a really, really cool story since all these guys went down. They bring it every game. They hammered Columbus over the weekend. You know, for my money, Cole Caufield, one of the purest snipers still in this league. Nick Suzuki, an unbelievable top six center. Like they have some good pieces on that roster, but I think if they want to continue to build, I don't know ideally if Mike Matheson's going to be the guy running your first power play unit. So he's like a, you know, he's a perfect plug and play option. Having said that, is there opportunity for this guy? If he continues to produce, you can't take him off that position, right, Pete?
Right. And I just think that like with even this season, we've seen, you know, Kirby Dach was injured, but that's another player we like long-term. There's Harvey Pinard had a Hattie the other day. They've beaten some good teams this season, even though they're a bottom dweller. I feel like every week or two, you know, you can't count them out on a single game basis in the betting market. So I would actually say, you know, way too early sleeper list, deep sleeper list. I'm penciling him in right now. So keep an eye out for Mike Matheson as early as next season to keep this thing going. So, I mean, looking at some of these other teams around the league, Anna, I feel like the LA Kings have really caught everybody's eye over the past couple of weeks, a 12 game point streak and 10-0-2 in the span. They got Kevin Fiala back yesterday. They won a barn burner of a game. He had two assists. That deep offense, the rich gets richer, right, with the LA Kings. I feel like they're going to be a really dangerous out in the playoffs this year.
They are. I would want to play them regardless of what team I was, because all of these players across the board are starting to pick up points. Like even out of their top six, I'm seeing some players find some traction. Victor Arvidsson's playing well. Adrian Kempe is really playing well. I think he's also a very, very underrated player. Four goals in his last three games, 6 points in that span. And he always manages to make something happen for the Kings. So it's more than Kevin Fiala in Los Angeles. I feel like he's the big name. He's the big story, but this team has a lot of depth.
Mark my words, they are going to scare the living hell out of Edmonton again. I don't know if LA is going to win that series, but that's scary, Pete, because defensively, and I know last night was a rarity, that game got out of hand quick in the second period, but like they have something going there. They have it cooking. and they have the confidence. Like, they're going to be the deep underdog in that series. There's no doubt about it, against Edmonton, against McDavid, against Drysdale. But I would not sleep, Pete, on the LA Kings, as you've just alluded to.
You look great. They were like one of the faceoff leaders. They're one of the top offenses in the league. They're one of the top power play units in the league because they have two strong units. They're healthier than they were last year when they didn't have Arvidsson or Doughty in the playoffs. I mean, you see some of these even, you know, dabble with some of these secondary guys out there that have been productive here and there. If you want to stream someone, the Grundstroms and the Mikey Andersons. And, you know, we've talked a lot about guys like Kaliev through the course of the season, but even like Trevor Moore is back from injury, Philip Deneau. I mean, really, you could talk about, like, I don't know, 10 to 12 fantasy relevant guys for the fantasy playoffs from this roster, including two goaltenders, which you could say Anna is maybe arguably the best goaltending tandem in the Pacific Division, or maybe the entire Western Conference with Korpisalo and Copley. So the list goes on for this team. It's an exciting group, and I don't see why they couldn't beat Edmonton. They came really close to beating them last year in Game 7, and they're healthier and they're deeper and they're integrating their youth. I mean, everything's working in their favor.
It's going to be tight. All of these teams, a lot of these teams in the Western Conference specifically, have really surprised me, because when you see guys like Kevin Fiala miss time, Kaprizov miss time, I was kind of expecting their teams to fall off around them. But Minnesota rallied without Kaprizov. The Los Angeles Kings are rallying without Fiala. So you're seeing the true depth of these teams. I thought the Eastern Conference was where we were going to have this gong show in the playoffs, where they're all going to be fighting till the finish. But the West is going to be tough too. It's really going to be a fight to get out of either of these two conferences.
So on the other side of the spectrum, you have the Columbus Blue Jackets, guys, who we all thought were going to be okay this year. You signed Johnny Gaudreau. It's been a tire fire, a train wreck for that organization. Now, Cole Sillinger sent to the American Hockey League, but a guy on our list this week that's intriguing, it's a four-game week as well, Anna, for the Columbus Blue Jackets, is Kent Johnson. Number one, when you see the Michigan goal now on social media or watching the game live, do you care as much? And number two, what can Kent Johnson provide for fantasy owners right now?
I like this Michigan. I think we should call it the Michigan instead of the Mike Leg. But no, I'm impressed every single time. That play he made before he did the Michigan, though, that was one of the nicest Michigans I've ever seen. And on the anniversary of the original goal, I mean, it impressed me. And Michigan, sorry, Pete. Pete's still reeling, guys, from last night. So is our producer, Bobby Bender, with that Penn State loss to Michigan last night. But I'm impressed every single time. Kent Johnson is a player that I was excited about earlier this season, before the season even started, to see where he would fall in the lineup. He has such a high upside. He's really a bright spot on this Columbus Blue Jackets team. And this time of year, we get to these teams that aren't contenders in the postseason anymore, where I'm seeing these young guys really stick out to me. Kent Johnson is one. I really want to talk about Philadelphia after we're done having this discussion, because there's a couple of intriguing guys on that team as well.
Yeah, way too many Michigan references here. I'll call that goal the Svechnikov. That's just, I call it the guy who did it. He did it first, right, in the NHL. So
he did it twice, too.
But yeah, hats off to nice run by Penn State. It's their deepest ever run. Have a feeling they're going to be knocking at the Frozen Four door once again in the years to come. But it was a fun run, sad ending without a doubt. But yeah, you were talking to Anna about Minnesota, how they've been able to weather the storm without Kaprizov. A big reason for that is Ryan Hartman, who, remember, had the breakout season last year. He was really quiet to start this year. Everybody dropped him that even took a chance on him in drafts, but now he's worth picking up once again, right, Nick?
Yeah, the Hartman-Boldy combination deserves so much credit, because a lot of teams, you lose a stud, a bona fide stallion like Kirill Kaprizov, just pack it in, call it a year. But Philip Gustafson, Marc-Andre Fleury have solidified things in between the pipes. I like some of the cheeky pickups, and Hartman's really, really elevated his play offensively. And I like Matthew Boldy, too, is a guy we talked about the last couple of weeks here on the podcast. It's great to see teams like really pick things up when you miss a guy like Kaprizov status, right?
Absolutely. Ryan Hartman is finally coming to his own, but Matt Boldy, he's being added to my list of guys, because he is just unreal. I know, big praise, big praise. Maybe not right now, because they're all going down and out, but Matt Boldy's the newest addition. 8 goals in his last 8 games, 12 points in the span. Every single night I watch this kid, he's playing so well. I thought Kaprizov, like earlier before he went out, I was like, he single-handedly carried the Minnesota Wild to where they were this season. But without him, Matt Boldy's kind of taken this next step weapon is this power forward on this offense, and he's so young. I'm really excited to see what Matt Boldy is going to be in the next 2 to 3 seasons.
Well, it sounds like you could have a boy suit on the Philadelphia Flyers. Let's dive into that conversation. Pete, we'll start with you. Carter Hart's a guy who's on my list this week. 4-0-0, 2.20, 933, one shutout, and a 4-game week. I don't know what's happening, man. Like, it's so bizarre because, like, there's an unbelievable player. There's a plethora of really, really great players in this year's draft, and these teams can't seem to lose. I know you never want to go out there and try to lose. It's impossible in my world when you have a motivated world and you have guys who want to win. It's just part of the DNA of being a hockey player. But the Philadelphia Flyers have sneakily been on fire and providing fantasy value late in the season, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, the Flyers are one of those teams out there like the Sharks that just refuse to rebuild the right way, and it came back to bite them. And I think you've seen the Sharks lately really fall flat and, you know, kind of change the organization's course of action. Whereas Philly, yeah, it's just a little puzzling to see them winning games like this. But keep an eye on Joel Farabee. It's a guy we've liked in years past. He's playing on the top line at even strength, and he's really been heating up lately. But really, when you look at some of the other names in that Flyers offense and Carter Hart, I just can't have the level of trust to put my season on the line, on the ropes, with any of those Flyers not named maybe Farabee or Kevin Hayes, and maybe if Konechny comes back, but he's been out for a while. So, I just don't have a lot of trust in the Flyers. So I am not picking up Flyers for the fantasy playoffs.
Farabee is the only one I take a Flyer. Fun play on words there. I know. Flyer on, just because I think we forget that the reason he's had such a slow return to play is he went through a pretty big injury this past offseason, recovering from a pretty big surgery. So it took him some time to get back to the same level of play, but he's really, really impressed me as of late. He's scoring pretty much every single game for the Flyers. Connor Bedard's punching the air right now with the way this team is playing. But just looking ahead to the future, guys, I love me some Barry Colts and Tyson Ford. Forrester, what a debut to the NHL for this kid. I mean, he had 7 points in his past 5 games, got sent back down to the AHL, but heading into next season, where are you taking a look at this guy? Is he like a dark horse? Maybe I'm getting too excited, but he's doing all this on the Flyers. Calder candidate?
You never know. It's going to be guys like him. It's going to be Devin Levi. I mean, there are going to be some Bedard. Big names. There's going to be Bedard, of course, in terms of guys who haven't played in the league yet this season. Yeah. But I think he's got to be up there. He's probably going to be in the preseason top 5 for the Calder. But I think with some of the other big name rookies, like we said, Bedard and Levi, you're going to be able to get him probably in one of the last rounds of a standard draft. And even in a keeper league, like, you know, that's someone I would try to pick up right now and then consider keeping in the offseason. The same type of thing we were talking about with Levi, but for a worse team, a considerably worse team. But maybe he could be their leading scorer next year. That's what the ceiling could be.
For what it's worth, the name Logan Cooley sticks out for me for potential Calder Trophy winner next year. I can't wait for that class, man. It's going to be locked and loaded, and it fires me up. And, you know, we're on that conversation of the San Jose Sharks. Does Mike Greer deserve to be the GM of the year in the NHL? I think this is a masterclass, guys. Like, I think they're a competitive team for like 75% of the year. They dealt Meyer, and now they've really, really bottomed out, Anna. They've lost 9 in a row. Like, I had to look at the standings, and I'm like, oh, wow, they're in last place in the entire league, tied with the Columbus Blue Jackets. The battle is on, Anna, for Connor Bedard.
Yeah, especially with the season Erik Karlsson is having too, right? They had to try really hard to end up in that position in the standings, because Erik Karlsson is running away with the Norris Trophy, but the Sharks are at the bottom of the league. But you never know. Maybe that's where Connor Bedard wants to go. Nice weather over there, right? I'd rather go to San Jose than some of these other places.
If you look at the teams, there's so many teams that need him, but the Sharks need a serious lift in infusion of talent. You could say the same about Chicago, say the same about Philly, and of course Arizona. Arizona's like the one team that I feel like has been down near the bottom of the standings for many years that hasn't won the lottery, right? Like so many of these other teams. Edmonton won it like 3 times, and Buffalo won it twice, right? And the Rangers have been getting high picks left and right. Maybe Arizona, it would certainly be awesome to see that market get a lift like that.
I said this a couple of days ago, but this current Arizona Coyotes team, I think if they were in the playoffs, they would cause some upsets. And I think if they got Connor Bedard, this team is an instant playoff contender for me, and they could make a run for it. They really could, just because there's so many talented pieces on this team. They've given all of the best teams in the NHL a run for their money this season. The players are so young, they're still coming to their own. But if you add Bedard to that mix, the Coyotes are sort of suddenly a big, big threat.
I said this half jokingly on social media a couple of weeks back, but Andre Tourney, I think, deserves a lot of credit for the job he's done. You look at the personnel on that roster, there's no way that Arizona should be competitive on a nightly basis. Like, we all thought entering the year, they were going to get blown out. It was going to be a puck line daddy, and it hasn't been that way at all. Like, it's been the opposite, and they've been competitive. And I don't know about you guys, I've been finding a lot of value in betting on the Arizona Coyotes, Pete.
Especially at Mullet Arena, right? Yeah. I mean, 20-11-4 home record.
Crazy.
That's what we were talking about in the preseason and early on when we were staying with Liebhoff, right? That there's going to be a little atmosphere they have going on there. Mm-hmm. It's obviously a negative storyline in general, but they've turned it into a positive this season, and it's a fun scene down there. And right, Anna, we were talking about it yesterday with the Penn State Michigan game selling out the arena in Allentown. Like, that's the way to grow the sport in the U.S. It's the best way. When you get college kids there, then they fall in love with the game, they start watching players from their programs in the NHL, and then there's like a real ripple effect on the sport overall.
Yeah, being from Canada, you go to these games up here with these teams, and it's kind of serious, you know? Hockey's a serious sport. It's a serious time. Especially in Scotiabank Arena in Toronto, you walk in, there's suits galore. But the Arizona Coyotes, they're a fun, funky, fresh team. I like their team. I like their coaching. I like their players. I think they're exciting to watch. To be honest, they're some of my favorite games that I've seen this season. Them holding their own against Colorado, them giving the Leafs a run for their money every single time that they play them. Barrett Hayton's kind of standing out to me. It's not even like the big guys. It's not just Schmaltz and Clayton Keller, it's Hayton, and you're going down the lineup and you're seeing all these players kind of really fighting to get these points on the board, get these goals on the board, and give these big dogs basically a run for their money. And I like the Arizona Coyotes, and I said it, if they get Bedard, guys, like, we're not going to be having the same misconception about the Coyotes that we've been having for the past few seasons.
And Nick, right, when we've been talking about players that gain value in fantasy keeper leagues, like, we were talking all up about Wyatt Johnston and some of these guys, like, Hayton's got to be near the top of that list, who went from a guy that you didn't even know would be playing in the NHL for sure to a guy that could be, I think, sharpied in on the top line, and one that should be considered, even for a non-contending team, if we're going to say one of the top 15 or 20 line trios in the entire league, with Hayton and Schmaltz and Keller.
He really has taken that next step this year, Barrett Hayton. And it's funny. It seems to have happened in the last 20 games, where it's like every night you look, a goal and an assist, three shots on goal, and he's just producing and producing and producing. And sometimes it takes players longer than others to find their gear at the NHL level. And I think this is why you're seeing why, you know, Barrett Hayton was such a phenomenal product in the CHL system. And now with the NHL, just, you know, what he brings to a game, the importance and the production. And I think, you know, Arizona has to be through the moon with the way this guy's playing from a production standpoint and really elevating his game to be a guy who Anna potentially could play with a Connor Bedard if they get him.
That would be great. I would love to see that. I think that would be a dangerous, dangerous line. I think it already is, but just imagine spreading that wealth a little bit more across the Arizona top six, right? We have a very stacked top line for the Coyotes right now. You spread it a teeny tiny bit more, and all of a sudden, this is a team that nobody wants to play.
So guys, when you look at, I know Nick, you alluded to it earlier in the show, the Florida Panthers are in a bit of a pickle right now. They're falling a little bit behind teams like the Penguins and the Islanders. Islanders have had some weird losses lately, but they're stacking their top line. I saw Matthew Tkachuk with Barkov and Verhaeghe. Yeah. That's one of the best line trios in the league, but where does that leave their second line? Duclair, Reinhardt, centered by Luostarinen. So, yeah. I mean, I think like that's an opportunity for Luostarinen and Duclair to be, you know, they're not household names, but those are guys that I would consider adding for the playoff push, just because Florida is going to be playing such big games and they're reworking the top six like every single night.
Desperation with a capital D. That's what you're seeing in that top line right there, where it's like, oh, we've lost some games we probably should have won. Ultimately, when I think we look back at this, Anna, I think the defining loss for this team, another D word, defining loss for this team will be that loss against the Philadelphia Flyers. They win that game, they're sitting pretty well. Like right now, as we have this conversation, they're not way out of things, but you start to realize that the season's starting to end. There's like 8 or 9 games remaining, and you're like, oh no, I pretty much have to win every game. I think it's such a desperation move by Florida, who just has looked in and out of sync all season long. They haven't found that consistency, Anna.
It's tough too, because Matthew Tkachuk is having a great year. I think he's just playing phenomenal, phenomenal hockey all across the board right now. But you're right, it is desperation for the Florida Panthers. I'm really struggling. I know I said I saw that Washington had a route to the playoffs, but I think there's a little bit more grit in that team. But for Florida, I'm really struggling to find a way that they make it there. But the season still has been pretty good for fantasy in some aspects. Like I was thinking, like if I had to give an award for a player, that's not like one of the big name surprises of the year, but maybe like a not underrated either, kind of in the middle, just like a solid fantasy, like pleasant surprises here. Brandon Montour of the Florida Panthers, I think would be my pick, just because as a defenseman, he wasn't your first choice off of this Panthers roster, but he's had a great, great season individually, taking that next step. I'm excited to see what role he plays starting next season with Florida. And I think that that would be my pick if I had to give out that type of award.
We'll give him a fantasy sticker, because I think you're so bang on to get 60 points, Brandon Montour. Like maybe we expected this when he was like with the Anaheim Ducks, like starting his career, but like he had a couple of flatliner years where he's bouncing around the league and has really, really found a home with Florida. That's been a very, very pleasant story. You're right. Speaking of which, so the Ottawa Senators, Pete, pick up Jacob Chychrun. And I have to admit, this is speculation on my part, but I wonder if there are reservations around the league because this guy's always hurt, and surprise, surprise, he's hurt again for this Ottawa team. So Pete, your reaction to that? Obviously, this is good news internally for Thomas Chabot when it comes to reps on the back end. Externally, as mentioned, we look at Mike Matheson. Torrey Krug's been hot as of late, a 4-game week for them, and Yusuf Välimäki of Arizona as replacement options.
I think it's an opportunity for Sanderson to make a difference down the stretch. I'm not sure that it positively impacts Chabot, but at least he'll be out there every single rep on the first power play for the rest of the season. But yeah, with Chychrun, I mean, it's just always one thing after another with this Senators team. Bad injuries, right? They haven't had Norris like all season, barely at all. I mean, I think that this team can be dangerous next season, but I'm going to go into my picks a little bit differently next year than I did this year, where I was high on teams like Detroit and Ottawa. You really got to like show yourself probably for a season that you have not only consistency, but that you can withstand injury losses. And the Senators still don't have a great goalie with Talbot in his contract year and a couple other options, but none that I'm too high on. So I think I'm going to be taking a pass on Ottawa next season, despite them acquiring Chychrun. I just like, show me more. Show me you could stay healthy, right, Anna?
I'm going to be cautious for sure, but what is going on in March? Like, I can't wait for this month to be over. I feel like I need to buy some sage and light it up in my house or something, because every single game, what is up with all of these injuries? Like, every single game I'm watching, some guy's out for the rest of the year, some guy's out for week to week. Like Boston brought like half their team to Carolina yesterday. What is going on? And it's a great opportunity to pick up other players in fantasy on the waiver wire and take some flyers on these lower name guys, because night after night, it seems like every single person in this league is just going out.
Load management is what we call that, Anna. And Pete, I finally got you aboard the Ottawa Senators train, man. You hyped me up again last summer. I'm with you, man. I'm just fading until you prove me something. Speaking of injuries and guys always hurt, Patrick Laine, tricep strain, ho-hum, hurt again. So he's done for 2-4. Kirill Marchenko is a guy we should pick up, playing with Gaudreau and Jenner on that top line. I also have in brackets, how do you lose 8-2 to the Montreal Canadiens? But we'll leave that story for another day. Externally, Pavel Dorofeev, you can't overlook what he's been doing. 7 points, 5 goals in 7 games so far since the last recall. Raphael Harvey-Pinard, who's been the brunt of a lot of my jokes here on this podcast this year, he's an absolute weapon, man. The guy's producing, had a hattie over the weekend, a 4-game week. And Braden Schenn, Pete's another guy I want to bring up, 11 points in the past 8 games in a 4-game week here for the St. Louis Blues.
Schenn's always one of those guys that covers all the categories, even if he's playing on the third line. And I kind of wanted to bring up the St. Louis Blues because they have some sneaky additions here. We've been talking all up Jacob Vrana, but a big 3-point performance the other day from Kasperi Kapanen, and then he scored another goal yesterday. in a high scoring game. So I feel like St. Louis and Buchnevich, by the way, he's been playing a lot, mostly wing in his career, but he's been playing some center lately and bringing exposure to those guys. Buchnevich is well better than a point per game this season when he's been healthy. I think he's like 60 something and 50 something games. I mean, St. Louis down the stretch next season, I don't know that they're going to be an upper echelon team, but they're not going to go down without a fight. And they just brought in some talent onto their roster, even though they traded away guys like Tarasenko, right?
I'm going to call them the second chance St. Louis Blues. It seems this entire team is based off of guys who are looking for that second chance, and they had high ceilings. We had a lot of high hopes for guys like Kapanen and Vrana in their past, but I'm not sold. I think they're my version of the Ottawa Senators for Nick. I'm not sold on St. Louis. They really have to prove me otherwise. This is a team that I just can't get behind because I think there are a lot of issues that they have in their roster. And even if they have some guys having individually good seasons, they don't come together as a team for me. I don't see that chemistry, and I don't see production that is consistent across the board.
And lastly, just a quick hitter on Tristan Jarry, another guy who's always hurt again. Casey DeSmith, I'd be very, very careful if I'm a fantasy owner, especially my championship. I don't know if I'm streaming Casey DeSmith. Carter Hart, Phoenix Copley, Yunus Korpisalo are some guys I would look at. And look at those sneaky spot starters, right, Pete? You have Yaroslav Halak on your list just to wrap as well.
Yeah, if you're looking at a goalie to pick up, I would definitely start Kochetkov in any game he plays the rest of the season. Sounds like Ranta's coming back, so that's a little tricky one. But if you even get one or two starts from Kochetkov, he could get you one or two shutouts with the rate he's been going on. And then, yeah, Yaroslav Halak, his past 11, 12 games starting, he's 9-2-2, 9.15 save percentage. Remember, he had that big shutout 2 weeks ago to cap off a fantasy playoff victory for a lot of teams out there. So, yeah, I would lean more towards the guys that will get spot starts from the strong teams as opposed to, you know, going to the well with a workhorse for a bad team that might get lit up and really derail your fantasy championship run.
NHL.com/fantasy, where you can find all the good stuff out, setting you up for your championship week. Don't forget, NHL Puckline is a new show with our friends Lauren Jabara and Todd Furman every Tuesday and Thursday on the NHL YouTube channel. Go check it out. And next time we have you on, I want five new guys that you really, really like, okay?
New ones?
No, yeah.
It takes a lot. It takes a lot to get on my list, okay, Nick? It's an elite club. Okay. Right now, it's just Matt Boldy. He's the latest addition.
Fair enough. Can't wait to find out who else makes that list in the coming weeks and years. For Pete Jensen, Anna Du, and producer Bob Bender, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. We'll talk later this week.